Exodus chapter 30. And again, you know that we're in Psalms, but we're just back here to get a little background on what the book of Hebrews is all about. So we're going to read from Exodus chapter 30, the first 9 verses. Exodus chapter 30, beginning to read with verse 1. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of acacia wood thou shalt make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, the sides thereof round about, the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. The 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof. Unto the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put it therefore before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. I want you to pay special attention to that end of verse 6, because this is what it's all about for us to be able to meet with our God. And so, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. I'll go ahead and read verse 10. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is the most holy unto the Lord. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and just enjoy this precious time. It's such a joy, Father, to be able to open your word, and New Testament or old as well. It's just a joy to study it, and we need to study it all from cover to cover. And so thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we have to return back into the Old Testament so that we may have a better understanding of the New. And so guide and lead us, Father. Show us the way of salvation, that we know you as our Lord and Savior. Trust you as our Savior. Realize that we're a sinner and we're lost, and without you we have no hope. So please, that you would guide and lead us today. Show us your way and will. Empower us with your strength. Show us your wisdom. Father, we have so much to gain as a believer. And Father, just let no one be here that does not know you. And so please, touch all of our hearts, especially those that are lost, that do not know you, that your Spirit will convict their hearts of their sin and bring them to you for salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The 10th verse there, to bring attention to that before we begin the study, you'll notice that even this altar of incense was also given the blood. Once a year, with the blood of the sin offering to make an atonement. every single thing in the tabernacle is covered by the blood, always covered by the blood. Now, where we're located here, we have the opportunity to come. This is just a picture of this. But first, the only way that you can come in to the courtyard, I'll just back up one step, and that is, I asked the question Friday evening at the prayer meeting before the convention started. We were closed, and I just asked a simple question. I said, what did Moses receive up on Mount Sinai? And not a single person, and there were several that were saved that were there, not a single person, the only answer they had was the Ten Commandments. Got the Ten Commandments. That's what we got. The law, one of them said. And so I said, well, how about this building called a tabernacle? And, you know, I've heard of that, but that's as far as it went. No one had ever had any understanding of the tabernacle. I said, I'm going to leave you with one thought, because next time we're together, in 6 months, we have another convention. I said, I will bring that to you so that you can understand it. And so in doing that, but I said, I'm going to tell you, the law that Moses brought down kills. It destroys you. You can't keep it. The tabernacle is life. Now, why has no one ever told you about the tabernacle? And so that's what I left him with. Same thing here. We come in. This is the plans that Moses received up on Mount Sinai. And it's a courtyard. It's 150 foot by 75 feet. There are two pieces of furniture out in the courtyard, the brazen altar and a brazen laver. And so just very quickly, because we do go through this quite often, this brazen altar stands for the cross of Calvary. That's where the sacrifice was made. That's where the blood was shed. And so it begins there, and you cannot enjoy any of the rest of this as a person cannot enjoy life until you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again. That's the only time that you really have joy of life and have the wisdom of God and the understanding of God. Now, we're going to spend our time, because that's what we read in the 30th chapter, right here. Now, I really need to erase this. We've had it for a long time. We need to move the lampstand, and we need to move the table of showbread, because it really tells us that prayer, this incense altar, is halfway between the two. And so we know that this is right before the veil, so undoubtedly we need to move the other two over a little bit. So we'll take care of that between now and next week. But first of all, if you ignore or reject the cross, if you reject and you don't realize that you need a sacrifice, someone to take your sins away, you've got nothing. You can't go anywhere. But if you do, if you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior and you accept Jesus as your Savior, then you come to this little round dot here, and that's called a laver. Well, a lot of people, they try to straighten up their lives before you're saved. You know, I'm going to, and I tell you this often, there was an alcoholic, and we always called him Step and a Half, because that's the way he walked, because he was drunk all the time. And I would talk to him and visit with him about being saved, and he always said, and I never knew whether this was right or not, but it was his statement, that Jimmy Swaggart said that I cannot be saved until I quit drinking. And so I can't be saved till I quit drinking. Well, years later, he quit drinking. And so I went up and I said, I understand that you stopped drinking. He said, yes, I did. I said, all right. I said, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And he just laughed and walked away. And so there's a choice. You got a choice and a decision to make. But please don't put something in your life that thinks you're keeping away from being born again. Because even if you get rid of this, this, and this, you're still as filthy rags before a righteous God. So you need to just confess your sin. Jesus took it away on the cross, and then trust him as your Savior. That's what you need to do. So that happens first, and then you come, because the first thing that happens then, God begins to show you things in your life that maybe there's something that he wants you to do. And so he's going to show you he's going to move you in that direction. Maybe it's something you're doing you shouldn't do. So he shows that to you. And then you've got a choice, and that's that washing. And this is brass. Brass in the Word of God always stands for judgment. This is also brass because in cleaning and changing our life, it's judging us. The Word of God is judging us. We're saved. We're born again. But now we have the opportunity to come into this building. And this building is only 45 feet long, 15 foot wide. The ceilings in it are 15 foot. Walls are gold. Everything inside here is gold. Everything outside here is brass. Brass stands for judgment. Gold stands for deity. And so we come into the tabernacle now. It's a tent-like fashion. Just one thing before we move on. Because we know that that they had to give a half a shekel of silver to be counted. That half a shekel of silver was put into the foundation, and there were 100 blocks of silver and 100-pound blocks, and the walls are setting upon that. And silver in the Word of God stands for blood, for the precious blood of Jesus. So everything we believe, everything we have, the foundation is the blood of Christ. We have no hope without the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so here, this is all setting on that foundation. So again, what a beautiful picture. So now that you have come to the brazen altar, you've come to the cross of Calvary, you've been saved. You start the washing process, and that's a process that lasts all your life. It's always, you're always being something you have to change or to clean up and that process. So then we get to come into the holy place, and that's the first room. If you'll notice, there's a square back here. This is a cube, 15 by 15 by 15. That's where the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat's at. That's our goal. We want to get there. But we've got some steps to take care of. First the cross, then the washing, and then we come in and we have the table of showbread. And that showbread is 12 loaves of unleavened bread, and it is on the table of showbread. It's for the feeding and the nourishment of the priests. Now, why are we talking about this? It's because according to the Word of God, we become priests the day that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that allows us to come in here. Otherwise, we couldn't even come in because the common man could not enter in here at all. Just only the priests. But because of the Word of God telling us in Hebrews that we have become priests, that tells us very clearly that we have the opportunity to be a part of this. So we come in. Now, there is no natural light in here, none. It would be total darkness. There is no light. And so we have the lampstand. We've been through the lampstand. The lampstand, we do not have the dimensions of the lampstand. There are seven. There are three branches on each side and one stem up the middle, so there's seven lamps. Seven always stands for perfection. And there is the light. This is acacia wood overlaid with gold. This is acacia wood overlaid with gold. This is acacia wood overlaid with gold except for the top. It's pure gold. This here is pure gold. And it's made in one beating. It's one. Can you imagine building this thing? We don't have the dimensions of it because it stands for the Lord Jesus Christ, and so He is our light. So when you talk to somebody that's not born again, and you look across, and it seems like that they don't understand what you're saying. The reason that they don't understand what you're saying is because they do not have the light of the Lord Jesus. So the only thing you need to do with that person is love them and give them the gospel. Because until they have the gospel, until they understand about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, until they come by faith to Jesus, they will not understand what you're talking about. So they can ask a question, you answer that question very briefly, and they get right down to the gospel. And ask another question, you can answer, don't be mean to them or ornery to them, and don't say, you know, you're not going to understand this until you're saved. Don't do that, but you need to take your time and bring them back to the gospel each time and tell them about the Lord Jesus. If the Holy Spirit's working, they will listen and they'll be saved. If the Holy Spirit is not present, it's not going to matter because they're not going to get saved anyway. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It's not you. Bathe it in prayer before you go. And so, but once you're saved, once you're born again, then you have the opportunity by the altar, by the laver, into this room here, and now you can feed upon the Word of God. For the first time, you're going to understand the Word of God. You're going to begin to grow each and every day. And so here's this precious light. There's oil in there, in this lampstand. Oil in the Word of God always stands for the precious Holy Spirit, and so here we have the light. So, all right, we've gotten all the way to there. Now, this was all review, and so now we're going to get started with the lesson. And so this piece of furniture right here, it's called the incense altar. The incense altar is what it's called. And so as we've gotten ourselves all the way to there, now you'll notice that we're getting close to this veil. And I said earlier that our goal is to come into the Holy of Holies. Why do we want to get into the Holy of Holies? That's because where God's at. We want to fellowship with God. Well, we cannot fellowship with God until our sins are taken care of. We can't do that. If we're depending upon the Ten Commandments to purify our life enough that we can serve and worship a righteous God, you're mistaken. It has to be by someone taking your sin away. And the only one that can do that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That was dealt with back here. Now we've kind of worked in the process of growing and cleansing ourselves. And so we've come in, we have fed upon the Word of God. So the Word has dealt with our lives, making us more like Jesus here. We've come in here now, we've fed upon the Word of God, on this bread, the bread of life. That shows us who Jesus is. It explains to us all about the Lord Jesus. The more we know the Lord Jesus, the more we love Him. The more we know Him, the more we're going to serve Him. And so it's all a part of that with here. Now we come to a part in almost everybody's life that is the most powerful place in your life and yet the most neglected. And this is not only called an incense altar, but it's also called the prayer altar. How do you get to visit with God the Father? Through prayer. You see all the steps and all the things that need to take place before you ever get there? How many times do we just take a few minutes and pray? We have not opened the Word of God. We have not searched the Word of God. We just, and what do we give God when we pray? Many times, we give Him a shopping list. God, I need this. God, will you take care of this? God, I don't know, I don't like this. Let's be honest with ourselves, that's not much of a prayer life. So, how are we going to get to a prayer life that is pleasing unto God? Of course, first the cross. You can't even talk to Him unless you're saved. Lots and lots of people say, I pray every day. Well, you can pray all you want to, because if there's somebody next to you, they may hear you. It stops at the ceiling. It goes no further until you ask God to forgive you of your sin and to save you. That is the day that God the Father begins to hear your prayers. And not until then. Not until then. We had a conversation in Sunday school there about, you know, how that physically God saved us. Well, he didn't, because he didn't hear you. There's a day to be born and a day to die. Some people have a long life, some people don't. God sets that. It's before the foundations of the world. And so when we come into this world, we best trust in him, be born again, and begin to serve him, because we don't know when our last day is. We have no idea when our last day is. And so our place is to serve him, to worship. We must worship, and then we can enjoy a wonderful time of prayer and get his peace and get his strength and receive his joy. And so right here is where we're at, and that's what we're talking about today here. And as you can see, we are not going to get a long ways into it. That's the reason we've been in the book of Exodus forever, and we're going to stay there till we understand it. And so once again, it stands directly in front of the veil. It is to show you how important that this small piece of furniture, 3.5 feet high and 1.5 feet square, how important it is, because the placement of this, the use of it, the need of it, is the only communication that we have with God. We have gotten all the way to this point. We've got by the cross. We've trusted in Jesus. We've enjoyed the daily, many times more than one time a day, of washing and cleansing. We come in and we sit down and we study the Word of God. And I hope that that is just the beginning, because we need to realize that our only communication we have with our Father is through our prayer. Through our prayer. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. We're actually going to start with verse 23, which is just one verse ahead of that. You do realize that the list that I give you is, I send that to the down to the presses before I'm really done studying, and so there is sometimes some additions, and when I say the presses, that means I hand it to Suze and she types it up. And so so every once in a while there'll be a little bit of change to this, but I hope that it helps to have that in front of you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. As we move through the tabernacle, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus, he has replaced, and we've talked about that in the past a little bit, and we'll continue to do so. Our Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, he has replaced this veil. Remember what happened in the temple. This is a tabernacle. This was the original plan. And then there are temples that's been built since then. Solomon's, of course, was the first. But it all held with this same pattern. There was always a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. There was always a courtyard with the brazen altar and the brazen laver, even though the dimensions of things had changed somewhat when it went to that to Solomon's temple and then on to the rest of them. But nothing was as glorious, nothing was as beautiful, no matter what man tried to do, as was this building. Because again, gold walls, white embroidered ceiling, white stands for righteousness. Everything is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And now we're looking at a picture of the life of a believer, because a believer is in the Lord Jesus. So as we come to this veil here, it was torn from top to bottom when Jesus was crucified and cried out, "It is finished." The reason that that happened is because, number one, the Sabbath was over. All the Jewish ways were all put away. They didn't stop them, and that's the reason in 70 A.D. that God allowed Rome to come in and destroy all of Jerusalem, including the temple. He said, if you're going to keep worshiping in there, I'll take it away from you. And that's what he did. He used an enemy of the cross to bring man back to what he should have. So the Lord Jesus is actually this veil now. The Lord Jesus is standing there. Because everything, and you'll notice when you pray, how do you pray? In Jesus' name. We have to go through our Savior. We have to go through the Lord Jesus before God can hear our prayers. He is our intercessor. He's the one that takes our prayers and thankfully straightens them up and gives them to the Father. Sometimes you'll say, you know what I've been praying for? I don't get anything I ask for. Well, by the time we go through our Savior and it gets to God the Father, that prayer is changed. And the reason it's changed is because what you were asking for wasn't good for you. Leastwise, right now, not now. I mean, maybe something's going to come later. I don't know. But Jesus never brings a request unto God the Father that isn't changed. Because we live in this old filthy now. When you're praying for somebody, sometimes we pray for somebody's health, and God doesn't heal them, and we wonder why. Well, sometimes there's things that we have to go through physically in order to bring us closer to the Lord Jesus, and so. I've shared this with you, and it's really close to my heart. And the last time that Mom went up and had a brain tumor removed, and I said, Lord, I said, whatever it takes to get the gospel to my father, I want him to be saved, whatever it takes. 7 days later, Mom had her stroke. She didn't walk or talk for 10 years. That resulted in Dad being here to church. That resulted in Mom being up at Mayo's for about 8 months in Rochester. Dad would come home on the weekend to get some farming and stuff done. And the very first time he rode, we were starting a mission church up in Iowa, and we were driving up there. And that morning, Dad called, and he said, "You mind if I come to church?" And I said, "Well, you can come to church." We were going to Bel Air at the time. I said, "We're not going there." I said, "We're helping with a mission church. I'm leading a song service at the up there." And he said, "Well, can I go?" And so I get up there, and I stand at the doorway, and the the pastor of the church was up there. Why? He said, Larry, he said, been wanting to for a long time as you come up. He said, would you give your testimony this morning? First time. What was my prayer? God, whatever it takes. Now, I could say, God, why did you do that to Mom? I guarantee you, Dad would have never stepped foot in this church. Dad would have never went with us up to the up to hear me give my testimony. The very first time that he was ever around, I gave my testimony of how I was born again. He sat right there and listened to it. Dad died 20 years later, lost. We can't save anybody. But you can sure pray that God works it out to give them the gospel. It's their choice. It's their decision. He was so indoctrinated by the old church that he just couldn't bring himself to change. I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I'm fine. No, you're not. And so it's, we've got to speak as the Holy Spirit goes up. So as we have this, understand, first the cross, next the labor, next the feeding. Now we've come to the incense altar. Now, this incense, the purpose of that is to flow up into the Holy of Holies before God. That's an example of our prayers flowing up into the presence of God. And so we have so much there, and we're already out of time, and I just barely got there. But I wanted to review that just a little bit, and so that you can see that, every detail of the of the tabernacle is a shadow of the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. The holy place is a figure of the true. The priest was a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. His ministry at the altar of incense was a figure of Christ in heaven, offering up incense and prayers to them. The smoke of the incense rises up continually before the ark and the mercy seat, representing the throne of God. The brazen altar, Christ died for us. That's what it pictures. Shed his blood, reconciling to us God, made us forever secure in him. The golden altar, this is what we call the golden altar, the incense altar. He lives in heaven. Intercede for us and for those that have died and are saved. And so, please, we need to trust the Lord Jesus. Brazen altar speaks of the death of Christ. The golden altar speaks of the living, the resurrected, ascended Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at this, it is more than just a building. It's more than just a tent. It is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a picture of our life and what we need to do. We're going to begin in the Psalms 141, verse 2, tells us that the incense is as prayers. And so you'll see the connection there. We'll go back and pick up 1 Corinthians, and so we'll take care of that. But please, that you see this wonderful gift that God has given us, and it's the gift of salvation. And for Israel, for all the years, this was their means of salvation, as they would bring before Christ came to the cross. All these offerings and all these sacrifices, you could not come to this place without bringing an offering. You could not come without the shedding of God's precious blood. You couldn't have it. And I heard a message this morning, and he said, have you heard about the scapegoat? And he talked about the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement. And he said, now they cast lots, and one goat was alive, and one goat was put to death. And they killed the one goat, and they caught the blood, and they took their hands, and they placed it upon the live goat and confessed the sins of the nation of Israel. And that live goat was led up into the mountains to never return again. Yep, that's right. But he forgot to say that before he did that, after the one that was put to death, he took that blood, went into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled it seven times, then come back. Then it had already been placed on the mercy seat. And I thought, no, he's a good preacher. You missed that. You missed that precious part there. And so, please, enjoy the study. Glad that you're here. Let's close in prayer. Father, please, guide and lead us each and every day. Show us your way and show us your will. Show us your strength. We've got to see first that we're a sinner. We have to see that we have no hope. We've got to see that Father, you're the only way. It's through your Son, your plan. You gave it to Israel. Israel was to bring it out to us. But the Jews just kept it. They kept it for themselves. And oftentimes we do the same. Father, when we know you as our Savior, but we don't tell folks like we should. So please, Father, touch every heart. There's folks here that do not know you. Please, that it would come today when we sing the hymn of invitation. Convict their hearts, Father. I can preach all day. You can hear the greatest preachers of the world preach all day. And you can leave lost. Because, Father, it's an individual decision. So please today, Father, touch that heart. Move them. Bring them to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.